Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to PhillyFanatics.com's Philly Sports Talk. I am Eric Fisher, and I hope everyone's having a happy Mother's Day. Let's send happy Mother's Day out there to all the mothers out there. Big week this week, and right now I am solo, so if you want to call, if you're listening to the show live and you want to check in, give that call. Or click on the button, I guess, that lets me know you want to make a comment, and I will put you on the air right away. Let's start with the Philadelphia Phillies. 6-5 victory today over the Marlins. You know, they lost 3 out of 4 to the Cardinals. Maybe some people thought maybe the bloom was off the rose. And, you know, I'll be honest, I don't think they're going to continue what they're doing right now. But Phillies, give them credit, bounce back, taking 2 out of 3 from the Marlins, who had been a red-hot team. And they take 2 out of 3, and, in fact, they move ahead of the Marlins into third place in the NL East today. Not that I'm standing watching. But it is a nice accomplishment for the Phillies, and hey, the longer this ride goes, the more we'll enjoy it. I'm not convinced it's going to last all the way through September, but I'm happy to be along for the ride early on. As the Phillies playing much better than anybody thought, they are 18-14, like I said, in third place. How are they doing this? Well, obviously pitching is a big part of it. They've gotten really good pitching from their starters. Aaron Nola today got a no decision, but he had thrown 23 straight scoreless innings before giving up 3 runs today in the fourth. So you have a really good starting pitching staff so far. All the guys are doing well. They've given up a little more runs the last couple days, but, you know, they're still pitching pretty well, and that's the key to the team. And I think the big surprise, though, is the bullpen. And if you think of the way the season started with the bullpens giving up, you know, lots of runs early on, and you said, oh, no, yeah, here we go. You know, they lose Ken Giles, they trade Jonathan Papelbon. They got nothing left in the bullpen. And lo and behold, the leader, National League leader in saves is now Jeanmar Gomez with 11. 11 saves for Jeanmar Gomez, leading the league. He got another save today. And not coincidentally, of the Phillies' 18 wins, 11 are by 1 run. They've done a really good job protecting that lead. So the bullpen, the pitching period, the young starters doing very well. We'll see if that continues. You know, sometime the league catches up to you the second and third time around. Second-time teams will see these guys. They'll have a better idea how to handle them. Maybe not. You know, maybe Vince Velasquez keeps doing what he's been doing for the first month plus of the season. Jared Eichhoff actually doesn't have that great a record, but has pitched fairly well. Nola's been terrific. You know, Jeremy Hellickson's been hot and cold, but this past week gave up a lot of home runs this past week. That's always the worry with him. But he's pitched well. You know, starting pitching's done probably a little better than expected, but we thought they might be good. I think, again, the real surprise is how good the bullpen is. Guy gets the win today, Hector Neris, has been very good. Like I said, Gomez has been really good. David Hernandez, who might have got a little leg injury the other day, covering first base, he's been, after a disastrous start, that first week, he's been much better. So you really look at that. And then the other thing the Phillies are getting, two more things. One, they're getting really good defense. Franco's playing really good defense, which is not surprising, although he's very inconsistent to play going through a hot streak, slump. But he's been really good defensively. Cesar Hernandez made a really nice play today. He's been pretty good. And certainly their outfield defense is much better than the mess we've seen the last couple years out there. They're still not hitting very well, the corner outfielders. Adubel Herrera has been hitting, but the corner outfielders are not hitting very well. But they really have played well defensively, and that is, you know, and that saved some runs, and it saved some games. Boros made a really nice catch. Made a really nice catch. I forget which game it was, but he made it at the end of the game up against the wall, which made it save the win. Tyler Goodell makes a really nice catch today in the very first inning, I think it was, against Prado, diving catch. You know, and then unlikely heroes, and we saw that today in the eighth inning. Andres Blanco and Tyler Goodell with RBI doubles in the eighth inning. I mean, who would have predicted that combination, lifting the Phillies to win with RBI doubles in the same inning. Phillies win in the eighth inning for the second consecutive day. Big rally in the eighth inning lifts them to victory. And you just don't have any complaints. I mean, there's little things they could do better, and, you know, but we're nitpicking right now. Their base running still has some problems. They still make a lot of base running errors. But no complaints, really. I don't want to complain now. Let's focus on the positive. Phillies are 18-14. It's a remarkable start compared to what we expected. And like I said, as long as the ride continues, I'm going to enjoy it. I'm not confident it's going to go through the whole season, but hey, we'll get what we can take. And if you look at their schedule, actually looks pretty favorable. They have the Braves coming up, which are not a good team. And then they have a homestand, and we'll get to that next week, I guess. But they have a homestand after that with some, I'll say, lesser quality teams where they might be able to build on their good start. So the Phillies might be kicking around for a while. And you know, it's interesting, and as long as they can keep it interesting, we're happy. Speaking of interesting, the Philadelphia Eagles have a very interesting situation with Sam Bradford. And Sam Bradford requested a trade. Sam Bradford doesn't want to play for the Eagles anymore, apparently. But really, he does want to play for the Eagles. And he wanted to be the Eagles starter. And he wanted to be, hopefully, prove to the Eagles that he was the starter for the future. And that's what he really wanted. And I wrote a column this week called Sam, I Understand. And I'm not excusing everything Sam Bradford has done. And I'm not excusing his public stance entirely. Okay, I understand he's got to get in here. I don't think he's helping himself. He's going to skip the voluntary activities, and that's his right. But you know that voluntary. We went through this. We went through this with a cornerback over. Scone, not Scone. Scones are bread. The heck was he putting on? I'm blanking on this whole story now. Carrie Williams, on repairs to his house. You remember, and he had to be home to show the workman what to do or something, and he skipped voluntary activities. Those voluntary activities aren't really voluntary. You know, it suggested the players be there, and they're really not voluntary. I mean, they are. They can't penalize the guy, but especially when you have a first-year head coach like Doug Peterson coming in, it's really important that everybody be there. And Sam Bradford's not going to be there, and he's getting a lot of criticism for that, and probably rightfully so. For his fans. However, he's been called a crybaby. T.O. weighed in calling him a coward this week, of all people to talk about holdouts and things like that. T.O.'s the guy, you know that. Interesting. You know, T.O., TMZ found him, and you know T.O.'s going to give him a good comment, and he did. But let's focus on people who actually reside on planet Earth. And Sam Bradford's taken a ton of criticism. Like I said, crybaby, coward was T.O.'s word. Another word I'm not going to say on the air. It's like a wuss or wussy, but pronounced a little differently. And I don't think that's fair. And this is a guy, one who's come back from a lot of injuries. You know, that's coming back from two ACL injuries. You're not a wuss, okay? And playing quarterback after those two injuries and taking the hits that Sam Bradford's taken, you know, you have to be a little bit tough to do that. So I think that's unfair. I also think the other thing that's unfair, and I wrote this in my column, is that, you know, Sam Bradford, I understand why he's hurt. I understand, you know, this is a guy who thought he was going to be the starting quarterback, not just for this year, but in his mind, if he had a good year, if he proved himself to the Eagles, he could be their quarterback, you know, for at least the next couple of years. And you know, the Eagles have put out there, you know, well, you know, we let them know we were thinking of drafting a young quarterback. Okay. There's a big difference between drafting a young quarterback, for example, taking a shot at like a Christian Hackenberg in the third or fourth round, although the Jets did it in the second round. But taking a quarterback like that who's a developmental project and trading up to the number two pick to get Carson Wentz. When you trade up to the number two pick, you're out there to get your face of the franchise. You're out there to get your future quarterback, period. Not take a chance on develop a guy. Mike Silski from the Philadelphia Inquirer had a column, and Mike and I are seem like the only two Sam Bradford defenders out there. You know, it's a qualified defense. It's a qualified defense, but it's just saying you have to have some understanding and compassion for the way Bradford feels. And in Mike's column, and I cite this in my column on PhillyFanatics.com, he points out that in the last 10 NFL drafts prior to this year, 25 quarterbacks selected in the first round. Of those 25 guys selected in the first round, 15 started for the teams in week one, and 21 were starting before their rookie seasons were halfway done. Let's say that again. 18 of the 25 quarterbacks drafted in the first round started week one, and 21 started before their rookie seasons were half finished. So now if we take quarterbacks who were drafted in the top three picks, and Carson Wentz, obviously number two, it falls in that category. Nine of those guys started in week one. 9 out of 11 were the starters in week one. So let's look at Jared Goff from the Rams. I mean, anybody think he's sitting the whole season? You know, I don't think so. And so if you think Carson Wentz, the Eagles not only took him number two, which falls in, like I said, the statistics Mike cited, Mike Solsky cited. So, that he, you know, top three quarterbacks, 9 of 11 drafted in the top three, started week one. Okay, so let's think about that. Now add into the equation the fact that the Eagles traded up, giving up a bunch of draft picks, including a one next year and the two the year after that, and obviously flipping the ones this year. And you think the Eagles are going to have Carson Wentz sitting on the bench for 2 years or even for this whole year? I mean, now, it depends how the season goes. If Sam Bradford's back, and like I said, he doesn't have much choice. If the Eagles don't trade him, it's tough to walk away from guaranteed money, which will be $22 million in his contract. That's a lot of money to give up. That's more money than, you and I are going to make, most of us are going to make in our lives. Sam Bradford's going to make in the next 2 years. So that's tough to walk away from. So it's not, unless some people have thrown out there, maybe he'll retire. But, boy, he's made a lot of money, but it's as much money as he's made, it's hard to walk away from that type of money for the next 2 years. Well, I can put up with this situation. He might not be happy about it, but, hey, let's put up the situation for two more years. So I know he doesn't get a lot of sympathy there, because the money's just outrageous. But he's going to come in, and he's just not going to come in during the voluntary section of mini camps and organized team activities, I guess as they call it, the OTAs. But, like I said, Sam Bradford knows. He's not dumb. He knows when he drafts a quarterback second in the draft and you trade up to get him, like the Eagles did, and give up all those draft picks, he's not coming here to sit for 2 years. And like I said, I don't even think he's coming to sit for 1 year. It's interesting, we had a caller last week or 2 weeks ago, Bill was making the point that he thinks Carson Wentz can be started right away. It was before the draft, I believe it was discussed, or maybe it was the Sunday after he had been drafted. And, we were sort of, I have to say, I was sort of on the other side of that saying, he's not going to. And then the more I thought about it, the more I think he is, maybe not week one. He's coming from North Dakota State. That's a heck of a jump to the National Football League. But I think he's going to start some point this season. I don't think they brought him in to be the backup. Not long term. And the latest I see Carson Wentz starting is game one of 2017. Like I said, I don't think it's going to take that long. I think in hindsight, Bill might have been onto something. I don't think the plan is for him to be started week one. But, if the Eagles are not having a great year, and so there's always that caveat. I mean, if Sam Bradford's lights out and the Eagles are in a playoff hunt, hey, okay. That changes the equation. You don't want to risk a playoff spot by throwing Carson Wentz in there. You're going to stick with Sam Bradford if he's having a terrific year. And that's what some people say. They say, Sam, shut up, get in there and play and show us how good you are. But I think the point is, no matter how good Sam Bradford is, he's not going to be the starter in 2017. The Eagles are not going to re-sign him to another contract. Now, he would help himself, get a job somewhere else, but he wanted to be part of this team. He was happy to be here. He wanted to be part of the new Eagles and, help them get to where they want to go. And when that draft pick comes in, it's very clear he's not the guy, and he's not going to be the guy. And short of, leading them to a Super Bowl victory, which isn't going to happen, he's not going to be here very long. And Carson Wentz is going to be the Eagles did not trade up to number two to have Carson Wentz sit for 2 years while Sam Bradford plays out his contract. And like I said, I don't even think he's going to sit for 1 year. So I understand where Sam Bradford's coming from. I think he deserves a little more compassion than he's gotten from the Philadelphia fans and from the Philadelphia media, for that matter, and from the national media. I think Sam Bradford is hurt. I think he feels he was misled, which is going to lead me to my next point. Sam Bradford didn't create this situation. The Eagles did. And when they signed him to that contract with all the money they gave him, guaranteeing him $22 million, it's front-loaded. And you can look at that and say, well, Sam Bradford should have known that he's not the quarterback long-term if that's the way the contract's structured. Although he could have rationalized that, and certainly people said this at the time, that part of that's due to his injury history. So you front loaded up front, you know, with a lot of money up front. $22 million of the 36 is guaranteed, and 18 of that's in his first year. And, you know, say it's the injuries. That's why the contract's set up that way. And Sam Bradford might have thought that. And like I said, you know, the Eagles could have handled this much better. So if the plan all along, and Howie Roseman talked about this was the plan in the trading up all along, when they traded up to 13-8, you know, and the different other moves they made, that was to set them up to go up to get Carson Wentz. If that was the plan all along, then what were they doing signing Sam Bradford to that contract? To that big a contract, I'll say. And certainly, you know, so let's start there. Like, the Eagles, if this was the plan all along, why did they do what they did? Why did they sign Chase Daniel way overpaying for a backup quarterback, unless they think that somehow Sam Bradford might not be here? Maybe they thought they could trade Sam Bradford. I don't know what they were thinking. Maybe, you know, the Broncos were a team they thought they could trade him to. But the Broncos traded up and got Paxton Lynch. Maybe they thought the Cowboys were a team they could trade to. And the Cowboys missed out on a couple opportunities to get quarterbacks. And they end up getting, I think, that Prescott later in the draft. But so they're not going to, I don't think, unless Tony Romo gets hurt during training camp. I mean, that's the other possibility, is you have a starting quarterback go down during training camp. Then the Eagles might find more of a market for Sam Bradford. So, it's, you know, if Tony Romo gets hurt during training camp, breaks his collarbone again, hey, the Cowboys might be interested in Sam Bradford. I can imagine the Eagles trading a quarterback to the Cowboys, but, you know, at least it's a possibility. If the Broncos, Paxton Lynch gets hurt and Mark Sanchez has a minor injury, well, you know, maybe they're back in the market for Sam Bradford. 49ers, something similar. But other than that, he's not getting traded. The Eagles could have handled this much better. And even, you know, Sam Bradford got some flack for not returning Eagles calls. There was that story, Sam Bradford not returning Eagles calls. And then you hear Howie Roseman, who basically admits he hasn't called Sam Bradford since the trade. You know, when you trade up to number two, and it's clear you're taking a quarterback, shouldn't someone, Doug Peterson, Howie Roseman, somebody, you know, like I said, I don't know this didn't happen, but we know it didn't happen with Howie Roseman. So somebody else in the organization did it, and the Eagles just haven't told us. But shouldn't someone have called Sam Bradford and talked to him? And he's not going to be happy about it, but say, hey, look, Sam, you know, we have this opportunity. We think this guy's going to be a great future quarterback. I know we signed you a deal. You know, stick around, hang in there. You know, look, if you really, you know, when you come in here, if you really want to be traded, we'll check out, you know, we'll look around the league and we'll see what we can do for you. But we really like you here. We want you to be here. But we just can't pass up this opportunity to move up in the draft and get a quarterback, you know, who we think is clearly – head and shoulders above the guys we could get in the later rounds when we had the picks. We don't have a second round pick. So I think if the Eagles had done that, it would have been better. I think this situation would not have reached the point it is at this right now. And I think the relations would be better with Sam Bradford. And I think we'd have a situation where Sam Bradford could come on the field this fall and not get booed out of the stadium by the fans. I just really think the Eagles mishandled this situation. Again, not saying they shouldn't have made the trade, although I do think they overpaid for Carson Wentz, but they could have handled it so much better from a personal standpoint. And I think they would have avoided a lot of the mess that we have now with Sam Bradford. So Eagles, Howie Roseman supposedly went away for training or spent that year where Chip was the GM. Well, Chip will say he wasn't the GM, but spent that year where Chip Kelly was in charge of personnel. Oh, Chip Kelly would say he's not in charge of personnel, but he was. And Howie Roseman's part of that was like, yeah, we're going to get this more sensitive Howie. Gets along better with people. And I'd say he dropped the ball on this one. This should not have reached this point. The Eagles should have reached out to Sam Bradford. They should have smoothed this over before it ever, ever got to this point. So, sum it up, Sam Bradford, is he wrong? Yeah, he is. Should Sam Bradford get in here in voluntary camp? Yep, he should. But the Eagles helped create this situation by really not reaching out to him, by mishandling it, by not talking to him, not being honest with him, maybe. You could even go that far. But certainly not smoothing things over ahead of time, explaining their thought process. Sam Bradford could be in a much better situation than he is right now, and the Eagles wouldn't have this public snit. By the way, the three quarterback situation, I hate to switch sports on you, but I remember when the Union, I know a lot of you don't follow soccer, but the Union at one time had three goalies, and they drafted Andre Blake. They moved up, I think, to get him in the first pick in the draft, just like the Eagles moved up to get Carson Wentz at number two. Andre Blake's now the Union's goalie. They already had Zach McMath. They bring in Rais Mabolai. They had three goalies. It was too many, and it didn't work. And I'm afraid the Eagles are in a situation that they do go in with the three quarterbacks. Unless somebody gets hurt, it's not going to work because they're not going to want Carson Wentz standing on the sideline with a baseball hat on for the entire season. That's not what they're looking for. And you know, by the way, the other thing they've set up is this: Sam Bradford's not only going to get booed right away, but if the Eagles are not playing well, and I mean even if they're mediocre, even if they're 500-ish, the calls for Carson Wentz to become the starter will be just like the calls for Donovan McNabb to replace Doug Peterson in 1999. And that's not a good situation. And you got, you know, three guys, and I don't understand why they're paying Chase Daniel $7 million a year either if he's not going to play. So Eagles have created a real mess for themselves. I guess it's a good problem to have three quarterbacks instead of not having any. But who can play? I'm assuming Chase Daniel can play. I don't know that. But I guess three is better than none. But it's they've created a little bit of a problem for themselves, and actually a big problem for Sam Bradford. So Sam Bradford's wrong, but the Eagles really contributed to the creating this mess. And I think people should give Sam Bradford a little more of a break from a personnel standpoint. You know, would you want to go to a job? Would you want to go to a job where your replacement is basically you're training your replacement, or your replacement's right next to you for the whole year, as they, you know, grooming him to take your job? It's not a good situation. It's a lot easier when you're getting paid what Sam Bradford's getting paid, but it's still an uncomfortable situation, and the Eagles could have really avoided this by it with some foresight and some sensitivity. And that's it for Sam Bradford for right now. We'll get to another topic, the Philadelphia Flyers. We haven't talked about them much. We talked about them a little bit, but I wrote an article for PhillyFanatics.com, no surprise, prescription for the Flyers offseason. So here's the things I really think the Flyers need to do, and I break it down position by position. A couple things they really need to do. I mean, let's start up front. They need to re-sign Braden Schenn. He's a restricted free agent. I don't think you want to get in a bidding war for Braden Schenn. I don't think, you know, it's going to push his price up. I really don't think they need that. The Flyers do need more scoring, no question. But I think on their top two lines, you just hope those guys get better. I mean, you can't move unless they trade Giroux. But you got Giroux, you have to hope Voracek bounces back and has a better year scoring than he did this past year. Wayne Simmonds had his career high in goals. So I'm okay with those guys. I think Sean Couturier continues to get better. If he hadn't gotten hurt, he would have been in that 15 to 20 goal range somewhere. Hopefully he gets into the 20 range. Like I said, Braden Schenn, he developed into a pretty good scorer. He 26 goals. He's only 24 years old. You know, they got to get him wrapped up. The new contract before he hits that free agent market July 1st. You know, like I said, you don't want to get in a bidding war, which will drive the price up. He should probably, and he has to be reasonable too. It's not like he's an all-star, but he should be in that $4 million range, $4.5 million range maybe. Wayne Simmonds is just a tad under $4 million. Couturier's contract type, which kicks up this next year, kicks up to $4.3 million, I think. And, you know, that's in the range Schenn should be in, especially if he scores like he did this past year. And, you know, I think the Flyers can get that done. Maybe not a long-term deal, maybe a 2 or 3 year deal, but which would bring him up again. But you got a really good player. He's relatively young. He might be blossoming into the player people thought he was going to be at one point, when people talked about him as the best player not in the NHL when the Flyers made that trade with the Kings. So get Braden Schenn signed up. That's the first thing. What else do they need to do? I'd like to see them obviously improve. Nick Cousins, another restricted free agent. I think they need to re-sign him. I wouldn't mind seeing Sam Gagner coming back at a lower price than he's at. We can see what other options are out there around the league. But he made $3.2 million this year. Sam could take a little bit of a pay cut, but you know, he contributed, especially in the playoffs. I'd like to see him back. Ryan White, a really good fourth line center, wants to be back. Made $800,000 this year. You can get him at 800, maybe a million, maybe 1.1 million, something like that. I think he'd be worth it if he plays the way he is now. But you do have to improve the wing scoring and the depth. Scott Laughton, to me, you know, I know he wants to be a better player. He got hurt. Luckily, he's okay after that really horrible-looking injury where he got stretchered off the ice. Scott Laughton, you know, restricted free agent. Let's keep him around. Don't break the bank for him. But he doesn't, you know, he doesn't need to make a lot of money, and I'm not sure he's a goal scorer. So you know, he's available in a trade for me as far as I'm concerned. Buy out R.J. Umberger, and I would really explore trades for Matt Reed. You know, Matt Reed's a guy you know, who seems to be on the downside. I'm sorry, by the way, Scott Lund's not a restricted free agent, and Nick Cousins is a restricted free agent. Scott Lund has one more year left, but you know, he could be traded. Like I said, he's not going to. I don't see him scoring a lot of goals. Matt Reed is really slumped, has trouble adjusting to Haxtell's Dave Haxtell's system. You could trade Matt Reed. So I in the forward line, get Braden Schenn re-signed up. You know, look for a trade for Matt Reed. Try to improve that. Like I said, Ryan White, yes, try to bring him back. Nick Cousins, I'd like to see re-signed. Sam Gagner, if he'll come at the right price, maybe. But if not, hey, let's upgrade that. I'll say third line scoring on the wings, and maybe even a second line scorer. Gagner contributed, but he didn't look like he's quite that guy anymore. If he ever was that guy, he certainly was when he was drafted. But I don't know if he ever became that in the NHL. So I would go there. Shedden, my first priority, re-sign him. And buy out R.J. Umberger, by the way. I just made that as an assumption, buy him out of his contract. But and look for some more scoring there on the third line wings, and maybe even a second line winger where Michael Raffel can drop down to the third line. Defense, I'd really like to see them move Mark Streit. He has 1 year left on his contract that pays him $5.25 million. Like I said before, you'd think he's too much money left on his contract. With 1 year left, you know, there's teams looking for a guy who can work the power play. Mark Streit's your guy. He's not very good in his own end anymore. Again, he was never great in his own end, but he's not very good anymore. I would like to see the Flyers move him. Nick Schultz, I'd like to see them keep him. Nick Schultz only has 1 year left. He certainly could be tradable, reliable veteran defenseman, but I think they're going to bring him back, and I'd like to see them back. Evgeny Medvedev, gone, $3 million. See you later. Brandon Manning, Radko Gudas, both restricted free agents. I think the Flyers need to bring both those guys back. Manning played really well. He opened some eyes during that series with the Capitals, jumping into the offensive end a little more. He only made $625,000 this year. I think Brandon Manning could be back for $800,000 and million. Let's do it. Small increase. Radko Gudas made $991,000. You might have to double that around there, but bring him back as well. I think he walked the line on cheap hits, but I think the last 2 months we saw him really, two and a half months, rein that in and still be a physical presence. Didn't lose his physical presence. So let's try to trade Mark Streit, and let's keep Brandon Manning around, keep Radko Gudas around. You got to trade Streit would also create a spot for Ivan Provorov, who I think should be on this team next year. So we'll have to see how that goes, but I think that he's got – Junior's does him no good to go another year in Junior. So I'd like to see the Flyers bring him up. So they got to – trading Streit would save salary and create a spot for him. Keep both goalies. Both guys get hurt too much to rely on one of them, but they're both pretty good. So let them play one more year, see who's out there, which one of them does better, and re-sign that guy as your starter for the next year. And one more. Shane Gostisbehere's contract is up after next year. Obviously, the Flyers aren't going to lose him. But let's get it done now. Let's sign Shane Gostisbehere so he's locked up for the next 4 or 5 years after next season. The money can kick up the next season. They want to kick him up a little bit this season. That's okay. But do what Couturier did, where this year he played on his old contract, but his money goes up next season. Do that for Shane Gostisbehere, so there's no doubt about that. So that would be my Flyers prescription. Resign Shane Gostisbehere, even though he's not up till next year. Keep Braden Schenn, get him locked up so he doesn't have to go in the free agent market. Nick Cousins, let's keep him around. Keep Radko Gudas, keep Brandon Manning. You know, then, like I said, I'd like to keep Ryan White. I'd like to keep Gagner if he's at the right price, or use that money to get a more attractive guy, a guy who you think will add more to the offense. I'm fine with that. So I'd like to see them improve that second and third line scoring off the wing, solidify their defense, although move right, create some contract spot and a spot for Ivan Provorov. And that's my prescription for the Flyers for the offseason. Final thought, more Penn State allegations this week. Coming out from an insurance case, I'm always suspect of insurance companies, and now you have an insurance company who's trying to get out of paying a claim. Well, no surprise, they're citing things. My problem is that everybody jumped to the conclusion that the allegations cited by the insurance company are true. And then you have some other people coming out saying, well, in 1971, this happened, and Joe Paterno knew about it. You know what? Where were these people? Let's not assume they're not true. But I think the media has made a big mistake, and a lot of people made a mistake, by jumping to conclusions, again, rushing to judgment in this case, as they've done with Penn State all along. It's a mistake. Let's wait to find out if it's true before you assume it's true. Thank you for listening. I'm Eric Fisher. Have a great week. We will talk to you next Sunday here on Philly Sports Talk.